Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porth. Well, we're just going to get real practical today, Brent. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, we've been talking about husbands and wives, and now we're on to the office of wife, if you will. And last time, you might remember that we heard those words from Titus chapter 2, where the early church taught the older women were to teach what is good and train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So, and we just kind of touched on this a little bit. Vocation of the older women, to train the younger women to love their husbands. And of course, that's in the way of Ephesians 5, isn't it, Brent?
Right.
So that's an important. Can we come up with some concrete ways in which that happens?
Yeah, there are a number of things I think we could talk about. As we all know, we're all sinners. That's sin is an equal opportunity employer, and that's original sin. And so there are sins that everybody needs to repent of. And with regard to holy marriage and the relationship and rough and tumble relationship between a husband and wife, I think one of the things that the older women could help teach the younger women is, you know, when you have hurt feelings, you got to watch that. You know, you've been hurt by what your husband has said or done, or maybe by what he hasn't said, or maybe because of what he hasn't done, and you're hurt. The older women have to teach the younger women to say, now watch it, honey, because we don't need this to turn into bitterness and hatred, resentment, so that the relationship then turns into it's an all about me kind of relationship. They could bring to mind what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that love does not seek its own.
And that mentality, that way of thinking, it's all about me, or this division between me and him, just goes contrary to God's ordering of marriage.
Yeah.
The two shall become one flesh. In other words, there is a unity there. And that's where sin kind of begins to create a divide.
Yeah, it's kind of like you remember in Genesis with Cain, sin is crouching at your door. This, all of our lives are lived in this way. I mean, the devil and our old Adam and the world are always crouching at our door, if you will, waiting for opportunities to divide and conquer, to separate what God has joined together. And so hurt feelings, you know, when you're hurt, guard against letting that turn into bitterness and resentment, hate. And be reminded by going to the sacrament, and be reminded about how God in Christ loves us at Calvary, and how that gets revealed to us, especially at the sacrament. There's another thing I think that the older ladies can teach the younger wives is, what do you fear, honey? What is it that you fear?
Oh, a first commandment training, teaching.
Well, we have lots of fears. I know. In speaking with younger men, I think the husbands, I should say, younger husbands, one of the biggest fears that they have is that their wife's going to cheat on them because they've married up. Remember we talked about that? And so since they've married up and they've married this hot woman, one of their greatest fears is that she's not going to remain faithful to me. She's going to cheat on me eventually. And this controls the entire relationship. And he lives in paranoia in the marriage. And then he assists, if you will, gives the destruction of the marriage an assist by not trusting her. So back to the women, what do you fear? What do you fear that your men are going to do? And we got to watch that. Because fear then controls our lives instead of trusting the Lord and trusting his word. Fear is a very powerful thing.
Well,
negative.
You have some of those same fears. You know, the wife also fears an unfaithful husband, because then the ramifications of that, not only for her personally, but if there's children, you know, the impact there.
Right.
You know, other fears, financial fears, that seems to be a biggie today too. And boy, I tell you what, if there's anything that really can cause problems in a marriage, you know, it's some of this sinful fear concerning finances.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'll destroy a relationship in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
absolute heartbeat. Because what you cling to with all your heart, and for some people it's money, and when you get into financial trouble, yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
Well, remember also here now that the woman is a little church, and as such, she receives the good gifts from her husband, who is a little Christ to her. And yet she sees that her husband's not Jesus,
yeah.
That he falls short. She sees his sin. And so this fear of indeed, will I be provided for?
Right.
Will he be able to nourish, protect, care for me?
And I think just practically speaking, just for starters, for people, and they can go to other experts for even better help. But talk about these fears with your spouse. Ladies, if you're afraid of something, you're afraid your husband's going to, talk about it. Talk about it. I mean, you've got to be open. There's got to be communication. Lack of communication is just huge. And of course, fear, hurt feelings leading to resentment and hatred. When you don't communicate these things, everything just gets worse. It just spirals downward.
I'm afraid of talking about it.
That's
another fear, isn't it?
Why? Because the old Adam who assumes things, always assumes the worst in people. The old Adam doesn't want to die. So I'm not going to talk about this. I want to continue to live in how I feel.
Or it's this living in denial, too. I don't want to talk about it because it may lead to further destruction of the marriage. And I think behind that is part of this mentality that the marriage itself is totally dependent upon the husband and the wife and their efforts to maintain it. And God's totally out of that picture,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
What God has joined together, let man not put asunder.
See, we're afraid to let Jesus mediate between two sinners.
Yeah, we think of God as, you know, he creates this wonderful marriage, winds you up like a watch, and then walks off and lets you run.
Deistic
and you're
marriage.
On your own.
Deistic marriage. I love that. Yeah, that's a good point.
And so these fears, when you talk about that, you talk about those fears in the faith. That the God who has brought you together as husband and wife will sustain you in that. That His grace will be sufficient for whatever that fear may be.
Yeah.
And that you honestly talk about these things with your husband.
There's a Bible passage that comes to mind here, and it's from 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter 3:6, where Peter says to the women, "You are Sarah's daughters if you do what is right and don't give way to fear." Now think about that in the Abraham-Sarah context. I mean, good grief, imagine. Honey, we're moving. This is what Abraham said to Sarah. We're moving.
I wonder who their marriage counselor was.
Oh, man.
Where are we going, honey? I don't know.
You don't know? Are you kidding me? This is where we grew up. This is where our families are.
You're taking me away from mom and dad.
So you're telling us we're going to move. Yeah, the Lord told me. Yeah, right. Can you imagine the fear? Mm-hmm. All the fears, including the spiritual one. The Lord said he'll give us land and he'll take care of us. And if you're Sarah, you're saying, I don't think so, buddy.
This is no laughing matter.
Right. Can you imagine the fear for her?
Yeah.
So no doubt Abraham had to comfort her and say, the Lord will provide. He will keep his word of promise. Even though what we see leads us to a lot of uncertainty, humanly speaking, and a lot of fears.
And you know, so Abraham, being a little Christ then, to his Eve, to his Sarah, speaking a word of God, a word of faith and trust. You know, Jesus himself to his church, he lays out what will happen to him.
Yeah.
You know, that the Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and he'll be betrayed and handed over and be put to death.
Never.
Yeah, see. And the bride, the church doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, do not fear.
Can you imagine, again, backing up to Abraham and Sarah, when the three men, the three angels come, and you're going to have your wife's going to have a baby next year, and she's listening from the tent. And then, of course, and she laughed at that, of course, and thus the name Isaac. But can you imagine when she actually becomes pregnant? Think about this. A senior citizen, never been able to get pregnant and bear a child and bring it to completion.
First-time mothers always have fears.
Holy smokes. And imagine...
But at that age...
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, think about it today. If Sarah were alive today, Abraham and Sarah, I mean, good grief. All you would be thinking about 24/7 would be, what's going to happen to my baby? I'm too old. Mm-hmm. I'm too old. You know, something wrong is going to happen in this pregnancy. But nonetheless, back to this text. Peter says, you're Sarah's daughters if you don't give way to fear. So that's good practical advice, I think, the older women can teach the younger ones. There's another one, I think, and it's called beware of overly critical of your husbands.
That's really easy to do. I mean, both ways.
Yeah, it works both ways. It does.
But it's very easy to nitpick and critique, and it's usually the little things, isn't it? And yet those things build up, don't they?
Yeah.
And we don't understand, I think, sometimes the effect of that.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes the husband won't say it to the wife. The husband will probably say it to his buddies or his best friend. You know, I can't do anything right in the eyes of this woman. Nothing. Everything I do is wrong. I hope this comes out right. And if it doesn't, I hope people have mercy on me. But again, this works both ways, but we're talking about the office of wife today. I think the older women can help the younger women in this sense, is sometimes wives have things that they want done, whether it's in the house or whatever it may be. And she will tell her husband, look, this needs to be done, such and such. I want you to do this, et cetera, et cetera. But the wife has to be careful in the sense of observing and watching something. Because your husband is a sinner, your good advice or your well-intentioned words sometimes are misunderstood and are taken the wrong way. In other words, what I'm saying is the husband hears what the wife says, do this, please. And the husband hears it as accusatory, judgment, and damnatory. And then, of course, the husband, being a sinner, acts like a jerk. He's now full of resentment. And the wife can't understand what in the world's going on. And then things, of course, explode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just be aware of that. These are some of the things. Now, let's back up. Being overly critical or always critical. And wives have to watch out for that. I mean, when you're constantly tearing down your husband, only focusing on what he does wrong. And by the way, husbands do a lot of wrong.
Oh, there's
24/7.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunity to criticize.
You're looking at one right now.
You know, but every critique like that just chips away and destroys and breaks down rather than builds up.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, and you know, some of those things you just have to let it go. Some of those little things that really don't directly impact the marriage, sometimes you just have to smile and let him go.
And say, yeah, there he goes again, and yep. just blow it off.
I love that guy.
Now, finally here before the break, a Bible passage that relates to this is from Proverbs 14, and it's verse 1, where it says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down.
Hmm.
I think that's just good practical advice. We need to do more of this. I think the Proverbs, maybe that's a future study one of these days when we do table talk, but good practical advice of how you live as a Christian in the world with your relationships with other people. And so the wise woman, what does she do in a marriage? She wants to edify it. She wants to build it up. She wants to let it grow. And that can't happen or won't happen if all you're doing is tearing it down.
You know, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but wives very often, when they're mothers, are very good at this with respect to the children and not being overly critical there.
Yeah.
Because they see the impact that has on the child.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe a transfer of that and that same approach with the husband then as well. Understanding that this one too needs the house, the marriage, the family is built up with her words,
right,
rather than torn down or chipped away at.
Now, what's connected with the criticism is being judgmental, where you put the guy on trial, etc., and you don't even talk to him. And that's dangerous, too, and that's connected.
Okay.
We'll talk some more.